Start with garments of praise. Thank you. famous one? King of Heaven.
Let your kingdom come here. Let your will be done here in us. Jesus, there is no one greater. You alone are Savior. Show the
on the line. Thank you.
Isaiah chapter 6. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth.
What was that? Isaiah what? Hosea's. Didn't hear quite back. Have to forgive me, I'm piecing everything together that the Lord is, I feel like the Lord is sharing with me right now. Return to me. So the theme of what I hear the Lord sharing, like I had some stuff ready and that's going to be a part of it, but it's like he's rounded it out this morning through our sharing, through our prayer, through our worship. It's like, oh, now I get it, what he was saying to me beforehand. But I see the theme of this return, and the theme of the world, like the enemy, the enemy wants to get us to think like the world. And God is saying, no, return to me. Return to thinking like the way I have called you to think. Return to seeing like I've called you to see. The world sees things through a lens that is only based on what they can understand and what they can figure out and just the world's laws and the world's ways. And that's all they know. And the enemy pushes this. The enemy, like, just think that way. And the Lord says, no, no, get your eyes higher. There's a greater reality. So I think about what Andrew shared about the doctors and just if Elijah wouldn't have been able to breathe without the tube, the world's way of thinking is, well, then just let him pass. The world's way is more and more in love with death, okay? Whether it's abortion or euthanasia, you know, in Canada, I saw a statistic or heard someone talking about this where, actually, I think it was Leslyn Lewis who was saying this in Parliament. We are the most euthanized country in the world per capita. And now we're expanding it. We're expanding it to those who have mental illness. And if they are If they are wanting that, then they get that. And which is ironic because Canada also just put out this hotline. If you're struggling with suicidal thoughts, call this hotline. I think it's 988 or something like that now. Yeah? And you can find help. Well, it makes me wonder, what kind of help are they going to find? Don't kill yourself. We can do it for you. Right? And get some money out of it, because there will be an expense. And like, and some people might think, oh, that's cynical, Kevin. Oh, boy. Follow the money. It's so sad. People who are struggling, and we're encouraging death. You know? Don't look at it the way the world looks at it. And this whole prayer request, and I would ask you to continue to pray, because the enemy, like with Elijah, the enemy wants to push this idea of sorrow and despair. Carlene and I were talking about it. As grandparents, we run into a few people who have, you know, come to us, whether via Facebook or in person, and wanting to pour out pity and sorrow, and I'm sure you've experienced that too. And it's like, no, like, stop that. Like, you feel like, you just feel like saying to the person, just go away, please. You know, obviously you can't do that, but like, just go away. Like, instead, congratulate me. Like, we're grandparents, and he's alive. He didn't die. He didn't remain dead on the table. Like God revived him. Like, please don't bring that worldly perspective. And especially as we're praying for healing, like, don't tell me, like, I understand there is this place of, we don't want to be naive, like Andrew shared. Like, we want to see things as they, you know, unless the Lord leads. And as I've been praying about Elijah's brain, that's one of the main things that I'm praying about, that his brain would be healed. I've said to God, yeah, the doctors are saying brain cells can't be healed. That is true. But God can heal them. The brain, I guess the true way of saying it is, the brain can't heal itself. That's the way God made it. For everything we understand, it can rewire itself, and there's some pretty amazing things that can happen in there, from what I understand medically, scientifically. But the brain can't heal itself. But God can heal the brain. And just story after story, account after account of the scriptures are coming to my mind as we're worshiping, you know, where the world and the enemy is pressing a certain perspective, and the people of God say no. Like, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come to my mind, and you know, if you don't do what I want, we're going to throw you into the furnace. And they're like, God can save us from that. The reality is, fire kills. And especially a furnace, I don't know if especially, like, but like, because fire is fire. And like, I don't know what Nebuchadnezzar was thinking. I'll kill them seven times worse by making it seven times hotter. Like, no, like, but fire kills, but my God can save. I'm not looking at what the world is saying. I'm not looking at what the natural is. I'm looking at what God can do. And by the way, if he chooses not to, because God is God, he gets to make that choice. If he chooses not to, I'm still not bowing down, but I refuse to look at this world the way the enemy wants me to, or through the world's eyes. I wrote down, as I had to write some stuff down, and it's like the phrase that we need to stop thinking like mere men. Jesus talking to Peter, you know, you're thinking like a mere man. You're just thinking like everyone else, when Peter didn't want Jesus talking about going to the cross and dying. It's like, you're thinking like mere men. Well, aren't you going to take over the world now? Aren't you going to overthrow the Roman government? You're thinking like mere men. Even as these prayer requests came, and Carlene shares about our government and democracy and freedom and restrictions and all this, we like understand she's not thinking like she's not asking us to think like mere men, meaning mankind, okay? Like, that's not what she's saying. She's just bringing it to the table there. But guess what? Our salvation is not with a government that loves democracy and that loves freedom. Pierre Poilievre is not the Messiah, okay? We need to make sure that we don't think like mere men, that our hope is in voting out the liberals or voting out a government that, you know, that doesn't respect freedoms. Now, I pray for a government that loves righteousness, and a government that will love righteousness will love freedom and respect people's choice and not try and control. But that's not where our hope is. When we think about the political landscape of our country, let's not think like mere men. We need to have eyes that are greater than that. We need to set our eyes higher than that. It needs to be more than that. God has so much for us. I was reminded, I forget what I've shared where, so please, you'll be forgiven me because I'm calling people by the wrong names and I'm still in a little bit of a fog because just because of life right now. So if I've shared this, you get the benefit of hearing it another time, a second time. I was talking with my sister-in-law, Sylvia, and she wanted an update on Elijah, and yeah, I just got to share that, which was amazing. Oh, God is doing so many things, and I just got to spend an hour and a half with Sylv and Kelly Jr., my niece, but then Kelly Sr., my brother-in-law, came in, and also Nikki, my niece, came in, and yeah, it was just a wonderful time of sharing. But then she shared about how her brother-in-law, so her sister's husband, first of all, her one sister's husband now presently has cancer. And so if you could keep Larry in mind, I haven't gotten an update from them, but it's declining rapidly, if you could keep them in mind and pray. But she shared about her other sister who had, her husband had cancer like 20 years ago. And they were praying, and people would call up and ask, how are you doing, and how are things going, and we're praying for you, and that's great. And as soon as someone said something like, so have you thought about what you're going to do if, and then they were going to go into a place of, you know, like, let's look at it realistically kind of thing, the sister would just say, oh, I got to go, bye, and then hang up. You know, I hope Syl doesn't mind me sharing that, because it's so powerful, though. And she explained later, I guess, that I just couldn't allow, as we were praying for healing, I couldn't allow any negativity in. Now, please hear me. Please understand me. Those of you who know me know, like, I'm not promoting an Oprah Winfrey gospel here or positive thinking gospel, like, as in just think positive and you'll get your miracle, you know, kind of thing. No, no. God is God, okay? He decides. And I think about Hebrews chapter 11. And that chapter of faith, and people are believing God for all his promises, and yet it says all of them died without seeing the fulfillment of those promises. So God's timing, God's way, all of it, but they live by faith. They refuse to live by according to what this world says. So the doctors are saying, or this is saying, or this is the natural way of things. And it's like, no, like, I don't need to dwell on that. No, I'm not naive. Like, I'm understanding, I'm hearing you, and I appreciate you, but I'm going to focus on what God has done and what God can do, and I'm going to pray according to that. And I am going to hope. I am going to choose to hope that the same God who did all these miracles will hear my prayer. Well, I know, I have faith that he hears my prayer. I've been talking with God a lot about this week. I have faith that you'll hear my prayer, but I don't know what you've decided yet. I have these pictures, and like Andrew said, like Andrew alluded to, you know, I'm in that boat of, I can't tell what is the Lord right now and what's my own thoughts and hope, because just the emotions and everything, you know. But I'm going to give you my hope, and I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on that. And I don't know, but like, I know that many of you have been through situations and like worse and all of it. And we've all had times of struggle in that where you feel the enemy and the world trying to suck you in into thinking like they think. This is not, I'm not offering a formula to get your miracle. Do this and you'll get your miracle, right? No, no, we don't believe that. We can't manipulate God because, again, that's the world's way. So if I want something from you, if I do it the world way, I manipulate you. I tug on your heartstrings. I kind of maybe low-key threaten you, you know, kind of like, oh, you know, or make you feel bad or shame you or this or that. And the world manipulates that way. We don't do that with God. That's again, the enemy trying to suck us into his way. Don't pray like that to God. God can't be manipulated. Praise God that he can't be manipulated. But don't go down those roads. But also don't go down the roads, well, I guess this is just it then, you know? Maybe. But maybe not. Because God is great. Is Canada going to turn around? Like, are we going to change as a nation? You know, like our nation isn't going in a great place. Two guys in Calgary got arrested because they were having a private conversation on a train that someone else didn't like. No kidding. Look it up. There's a bylaw in Calgary that you can't make other people uncomfortable or something along those lines. And they were talking, they were on their way to the million person march for children, and the parents should have rights in their children's lives in the school system. They were having a private conversation. It was overheard. That person called the police. They were arrested, and one person was put in handcuffs when they got off the train. Because they broke a bylaw in that. Now they've lawyered up, and hopefully the legal system does its job and gets rid of crazy laws like that. But our hope isn't in our judicial system. I hope that you see that by now. Our hope isn't in legislation. I hope you see that by now. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. And we can't think of things like mere men. Can't. You can't afford to do that. I've been reading in the Psalms. Let's turn to Psalm 77. I know I mentioned this to at least one or two people. So there is this way of God that is taught in Scripture. And the way of God is this. We are people of faith. We believe. We believe even if we don't see. We believe because God said it. And that's good enough. Like, God has said this, it's true. Even if I never see it fully manifest in my life, it's just truth. You know, and we believe. And then the whole reality of it's grace through faith. It's the empowering presence of God through that belief. And so we just choose to believe God, even if circumstances are saying otherwise, because we know ultimately God's word will be proven 100% true. It already is 100% true, but eventually it will be proven for everyone to see. It's 100% true. But again, the temptation is to not believe God, but rather believe men and the enemy. And by the way, this is the first temptation back in Genesis. Don't believe what God said. Believe what I'm telling you. That's the temptation of the serpent. God lied to you. I'm telling you the truth. God's lying to you. Your eyes, like, and what the doctors are saying is the truth, you know, and so on and so forth. There are times where we'll go through life where, yeah, it just doesn't seem that way, though. It doesn't seem like God is being truthful to his word. Psalm 77. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing, and I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused, and my spirit inquired. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? And stop there for a second. How many have been tempted to think that way in their life at one point or another? Or am I the only one? Don't leave me hanging here. Andrew has. Okay? Like, it's so natural to start going down those roads. It's so natural. And understand, if we can... We don't want to be unaware of the enemy's schemes, and we don't want to be unaware of our own bent, our own sinful bent. And this is it. This is part of it. We will be tempted to accuse God. And the basic temptation is, liar. We're tempted to call God a liar. And yet he is truth. Right? It's the first temptation. God lied to you. In that day, you will not die. But the Almighty knows that you'll be like God if you eat this fruit. He lied to you. Believe me. That's the big temptation. God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. We know that in the New Testament, but they knew that in the Old Testament. But the temptation is, have you rejected me? Have you abandoned me? And our temptation is to point a finger at God. It's the same temptation with Job, to point the finger and curse God. And how many people are in our lives and the world around us, like Job's wife, just curse God and die? Just crawl into a corner, curse God, and get in the fetal position and wait to die. No. That is the advice of a wicked person. Let God be true and every man a liar. God is truth. So how does the psalmist fight this? This is Asaph who wrote this psalm. How does he fight this? Then I thought, verse 10, to this I will appeal. The years of the right hand of the Most High, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles, and you display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters. Though your footprints were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And so Asaph chooses to remember what God has done, and he focused on the miracle of Israel being brought out of Egypt and crossing the Red Sea. But the key here is, whatever miracle it is you start, and whatever you're remembering, it's this place of remember. And again, we have it further explained to us in the New Testament, and we understand, I think it's in the Old Testament too as well, like this place of God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He doesn't change like shifting shadows. So the same God who parted the Red Sea is the one who lives in me, and he is hearing my prayer. The same God. And for me, what I started doing is I started going through the miracles of Jesus this week. Just in my mind. This is why it's so great to be in the Word on a constant basis, so that even if you don't have a Bible with you, you can start remembering. You don't have to remember every word the way, like every word in a verse perfectly. I know that Carlene does memorization verses with the kids, and they have to get the words right, you know, or at least like all the ideas. But it's this place of, I remember. So I start remembering, okay, Lord. I remember you healed blind Bartimaeus. He's one of my favorites. Just because of his passion. Have mercy on me, son of David, have mercy on me, he cries out, right? Blind Bartimaeus. John chapter 9 is one of my favorites as well. Another blind guy. But but he's healed. Puts mud on his eyes. He's healed. I love it. I remember Jairus' daughter. Come and heal my daughter, but then she dies, but then he raises her to life, and he says, no, she's just sleeping. I remember the woman healed from the internal bleeding, right? I remember the friend who was paralyzed, and the other friends had to bring him to Jesus, let him through they dug through the ceiling. I don't know who fixed it, whether they called a roofing company after that or whatever, but they let him through the ceiling and get up. Take your mat and walk. I remember the servant being healed from afar. Jesus just said the word. He's healed. I remember Lazarus being raised from the dead. I remember then, I start remembering the miracles too, not just the healings, but the miracles. I remember Jesus walking on the water. I remember Jesus speaking to the storm and calming it. I remember Jesus changing water into wine. And you just begin to remember. And the important thing, the amazing thing about remembering is you start seeing your faith being built up, because it's like, yeah, I don't look at this world the way the world sees things. Because all they can see is from their perspective, without God. And so the doctors say, you know, we've seen 1,000 cases like this. 95% of the time, this is what happens. 5% of the time, the lottery winners, like you say, like they said to Andrew and Alyssa, oh, there's some lottery winners, and he might be able to walk with canes. That's the lottery winner. That's the world's idea of a lottery winner. Like, you've won the lottery, kid. And it's like, okay, thank you for your perspective. But I'm going to concentrate on God's perspective. And let God be God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? If we die, we die. That's, you know, that's up to God. We know that fire kills. Yeah, we see the furnace over there. If we get thrown in there and God chooses not to intervene, we're dead. And you know what? That's okay. But we're not going to look at it from your perspective. We're going to look at it from God's perspective. David and Goliath. Yeah, you're a seasoned warrior, and you're 4 feet taller than me. Yeah, natural circumstances, I'm dead. But you know what? See, David didn't just have hope, he had faith, because I think God had already shown him what he was going to do, because he said, today I'm going to feed your body to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Yeah, in man's perspective, that makes no sense. Well, with God, anything's possible. Everything's possible. The army of Israel, like two small flocks of goats, the enemy army covering the horizon. God takes care of it. Gideon, 300 people in his army take on an army of 135,000, and they rout the army. Again, I'm not asking us to be naive. I just see how the enemy and the world's ways wants to rob us of our heavenly perspective and our belief. And wants to cast us into a place of doubt and despair. It's like, no, I'm not going to live in that place. Now, someone might ask, but again, this whole, the friends who call up and say, yeah, but what if? I understand that that question needs to be answered, but more for other people than for me. What if? I'll keep praising God. Now I'll worship him. And one day this age will be over. You know, 100 years from now, well, Elijah might live more than 100 years because he has old genes in his family line. So 150 years from now, one way or the other, I'm going to be in heaven with Elijah if he chooses the Lord. I'm going to be in heaven with him, and we're both going to have glorified bodies. So that answers the what if. The what if of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, what if he doesn't save you? Well, then I'll be with the Lord, but I'm not going to bow down to your way of thinking. I'm not going to bow down to your idols. I would really encourage just the world's perspective, just don't be naive towards things, but just set it aside. The world is so filled with negativity. And again, I'm not promoting a just be positive gospel. I confess I have sometimes fell into despair when it comes to Canada. You know what? That doesn't help Canada at all. That doesn't help at all. You know what I should do instead, and I want to do this more and more? Oh, Lord, help me choose well. I want to concentrate on what God has spoken over Canada and pray for that. God has good plans for our nation, and I want to pray that. I want to concentrate on that. I want to be filled with hope because of what God has said, because of what God has planned. I want to believe, and I would encourage us all to believe. I always feel like I need to make sure you understand I'm not going into the ditches, though. I'm not talking word of faith. Just believe and it will happen. But here's, I guess, if I could sum it up this way. This is what I believe, okay? And this is what I encourage you. The same God who parted the Red Sea is the one who is listening to my prayers for Elijah right now. The same God who had compassion on Jairus with his sick daughter who eventually died, he has that much compassion for Andrew and Alyssa and for Elijah and for our family right now. He has the same heart. I know he hears us. When we pray for Canada, I know he hears us. When you pray for your family, I know he hears us. When you pray for loved ones and sick and the hurting. He hears us, and he has good plans, and God will do what is right. I have faith, and I have faith that he loves performing miracles. And I have faith that he will do what is right. And I just gotta, Lord, forgive me for thinking like a mere man so much in my life. And that's one of the reasons, like I preached last week, I think that's one of the reasons why God has had me concentrating on praise. Because praise reminds me of who he is. I actually, if I were to ratio it out, the prayers of, oh Lord, heal, and the prayers of, oh God, you are great, it's about maybe 5-1, 10-1 of praise over asking. Praise him 10 times, ask once. That's probably the ratio he's had me on. I'm not saying that that needs to be the ratio for everyone. I haven't done the, actually that would be an interesting study in the Psalms. The ratio, because there's both in the Psalms. But it's helped me remember who I'm talking to. And it fills me with faith. Fills me with hope. Fills me with health in the Lord. Does that all make sense? I hope it does. There was some other stuff, but I'm going to leave it for now. I don't want to, there's always more with me. Are there any questions or comments on this? Okay. So to summarize, remember. That's the summary. Remember who we're talking to. Remember who he is. And remember that he is the same. And let that truth just fill you. Let's stop thinking. Let's make sure we're not thinking like the world. Okay? Amen? Amen. Is there anything else, Craig? No? Okay. I got to pray for us then as we depart. Lord, you heard everything that was just said. And Lord, you know that it's not just teaching, it's a prayer. Lord, we confess to you. I confess to you. And if anyone else here relates, they can confess to you. I so often think just like the world thinks, and I'm so tempted to go down those roads. I don't want to. And I'm just going to also pray, Lord, that the accusation from the enemy that, oh, then you're becoming one of these word of faith and just like you can twist God's arm kind of people. No, that's a lie and an accusation against us that's not true either. I just see the enemy trying to push us into either ditch. This is the truth. You are God and we worship you. And all things are possible in you. And we choose to remember what you have done, knowing that you are the same. And you can do it if it's your will. If you are willing, you can make Elijah clean. If you are willing, you can make Helen Joy clean. If you're willing, you can heal. You can heal Larry, who is suffering from cancer right now. You can heal him, Lord. If you're willing, all power, all glory to you. And we fix our eyes on you. And we come to you with that in mind. Help us remember we love you. Help us remember all that you have done. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless.